Well, good evening. Would you turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just be reading two verses tonight. Second Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Let us pray and ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given to us. We thank you for this opportunity to worship together now a second time. We thank you that you have communicated to us in a book. And we thank you that it is your breath, your words that have been spoken to us, Lord. As we reflect this evening on the nature of the Scriptures and their use in our lives and our connection with them, Lord, likely nothing said here is new or to us, but Lord, may you affirm these truths deeper in our lives and sustain us by it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, maybe growing up you went to summer camp or on the playground you played tetherball. And if you don't know what tetherball is, it's a volleyball-like ball that's attached to a string on a pole, and you hit it back and forth between you and another person, and you want the ball to spin in your direction the whole way around the pole. So, you know, sometimes you're against some guy that's real strong and he just whacks that thing and it just spins up around. But you're hitting this ball back and forth, and no matter how hard you hit it, the ball remains connected to the rope. It's tethered to the rope. That's why it's called tetherball. It's fastened or confined to the rope. Wherever it goes, it remains tethered to it. And I think this provides us a picture of how our relationship should be to the Word of God. We must be tethered to the Word, fastened to it, confined to it. As that string connects with that ball, no matter where it turns, the ball is with it. And we need to be with the Scriptures. We need to be tethered to the Word. When we understand what the Bible is and what it can do for us, we will remain close to it. It needs to be central to our lives. When people think about you, they need to think that person believes the Bible. That person is a Bible person. When people think of this church, they need to think this is a Bible church. They believe the Bible. They teach the Bible. It is central to their lives. So we need to be tethered to the Word. That's my exhortation to you this evening. Be tethered to the Word. Why? Why should we be tethered to the Word? That is the question that I'm trying to answer tonight, and there are three points. First, why should we be tethered to the Word? One, because it is inspired by God. Verse 16 tells us, all Scripture is breathed out by God. This is a unique word. It says, my translation says, breathed out. It's inspired. It's God breathes, as the Scripture says. This word is only used here in the New Testament. But what's the point? Every word of God, every word of the Scripture is God's word. It's breathed. The metaphor is God's breath, meaning God's words are exactly what we have in the Scriptures. When we read the Scriptures, we are reading the very words of God. It is God-breathed. Maybe you're here tonight and you think, well, it's written by men, isn't it? Like, you say it yourself. Paul writes in this book, or the Apostle John writes in that book. Isn't the Bible written by men? God didn't just show up and give someone a vision and they wrote down in a book. Well, no. But the Bible tells us how the Word of God is actually the Word of God. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'll refer to 2 Peter a couple times tonight, so maybe you want to keep a second bookmark there. 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 20, it tells us this. No prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So how does it work? Men did not just decide to write the Word of God. We can't just say, I will now write God's Word to God's people. No, the Spirit inspires the men. The Spirit carries the men along. So what they write is exactly what God wanted to be written. So what we have in the Word of God is not men's words, but God's words. God's used men and their personality and their circumstances to write the Scriptures, but God is the ultimate author. He guided the process so that every word they wrote was exactly what God wanted to be written. But the Scriptures aren't dictated. God used various ways to write the Scriptures. Sometimes, like in the prophets, God spoke to them directly. We read in the book of Luke that Luke wrote his gospel after he had went and researched. He looked at the sources. He interviewed people and then he wrote his book. Yes, he wrote it, but God guided his writing so that what he wrote was God's word. The apostle Paul is responding to certain circumstances in the Scriptures and he's writing letters, but God is guiding the process. So what we have in the Scriptures are the very words of God. How do we know? How do we know that what we have in this book is the Word of God? 3 points here. One, well, that's what the Scriptures actually claim to be. We're not making this point up. The Scriptures claim to be the Word of God. That's what our text says here. 2 Peter 3, 15 and 16 tells us, this is very interesting when it comes to Paul's letters, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him. So Peter is referencing the letters of Paul. Verse 16, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other Scriptures. So what do we learn here? Well, one, some things in Paul are hard to understand. And you may think that, and I think that, and the Apostle Peter thinks that. But what does he say? He says Paul's letters are Scripture, as the other Scriptures. So he's claiming that Paul's letters are the Word of God. God speaks to us through His Word. So that's what the Scriptures claim to be. How do we know it's the Word of God? Secondly, God is true and cannot lie. The Bible cannot contain any errors because God is a perfect God, and if God is perfect, He cannot give an imperfect revelation of Himself. God is true and cannot lie. But finally, what is the ultimate reason, I think, that we can know for sure that the Bible is the Word of God? The Scriptures are self-attesting. They speak for themselves. It is like no other book. One author says the Scriptures have a peculiar glory. That when you read this book, you realize this is different. This is not like reading the newspaper. This is not like reading Shakespeare or great literature. When I'm reading this book, I'm sensing something different here. That this book is alive, says Hebrews 4:12. It's active. It's powerful. We see that the Scriptures have power to change life. No other book has so affected people's lives in the history of the world. that people read this book and their marriages are changed, addictions are broken, lives are transformed just by reading this book. Nobody's lives are significantly changed from reading Shakespeare. It is its best defense. And the people of God recognize that. This is God's book. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2:13 commends the Thessalonians. He says, "And we thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you." So when you read the Bible, when you hear the Word of God preach, you realize something's different here. The Scriptures attest to themselves. We don't ultimately need to defend the Scriptures because the Scriptures are their best defense. Adapting an illustration I read from Spurgeon, you know, I can talk all day, if I had a big lion in a cage up here, of how ferocious this lion is, how strong this lion, boy, if I let this lion, he would sink his teeth in you, and he's so powerful, and I can talk all day about how powerful this lion is, but what is the one way to know for sure the power of the lion? You let him out of the cage. You let him do his thing. And the same is true with the Scriptures. We can talk all day about how true it is. And it's good that we have lots of books that tell us the accuracy of the Scripture, the care with which it was transmitted. But at the end of the day, we have to let the lion out of the cage. We have to preach the Word. We have to read the Word of God for itself, and it will defend itself. That maybe you're here and you're a skeptic, you're saying, I don't know if the Bible really is the Word of God. I mean, I've read some things and people say there's lots of contradictions. Well, have you read the Word of God for yourself? Because by the power of the Spirit, we can see that the Scriptures are the very Word of God. What we have is God's Word. And if we want to be tethered to the Word, we must see its divine origin. It cannot be just another book. It has to be seen as God's Word. It cannot be seen as merely a nice aid for spiritual life, filled with fascinating stories and small sayings that we put on things to decorate our houses. No, we must see as it is. It's the very Word of God. It's inspired by God. It is without error, even incapable of it. And if you do not have this view, then other allegiances will compete in your lives for your source of spiritual truth. You must see the Bible as the Word of God and only as the Word of God, or other things will compete for your opinions in your life. You have to see the value of the Scriptures, its divine origin, if you're going to be tethered to it. If you're a teacher or maybe sympathetic to teachers, what's the biggest thing for teachers? They have to prove to the student that their subject is valuable before the student will want to engage in it. So we have to see the value in the Scripture, that this is God's very words to us if we are going to be tethered to it. Without it, we won't devote ourselves to it. So one, we believe we are tethered to the Word because it is inspired by God. Two, we are tethered to the Word because it is useful for Christian living. Our text gives us several things that the Bible is used for. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. And then he states a few things here. One, for teaching. The Scriptures are our source of doctrine, of teaching. How do we know who God is? How do we know how this world came to be? How do we know who Jesus is? How do I know God loves me? How do I know to go to heaven? How do I know that I'm a Christian? Who is Jesus? All of our teaching, all of our understanding about God comes from the Scriptures. As any good confessional statement has, you read what it says, and then there's these footnotes. And it says, from this passage, this passage, this passage, this passage. Why? What's the point of any good confession? It's trying to show you what the Scriptures actually teach, because what we believe only comes from the Scriptures. All of our teaching about God and the Christian life must come from the Scriptures. It's not one of many sources that we get our doctrine from. This was the Protestant doctrine of sola scriptura. Scripture alone is our final and only authority for the Christian life. We don't get our doctrine of God from Oprah. I read this, I don't even know where I read this, in this magazine, Who is God? And there are 50 statements about who God is, none of which was biblical. God's a feeling. God's an energy. God is this cosmic, you know, genie. How do we know who God is? The Scriptures. How do we understand in our day and age understanding of sexuality, gender, marriage, and family? It's not what the culture says. It's what the Scriptures say. We look to that to define it for us. How do you know God loves you? If you base it on your feelings, there are many times you probably don't feel that God loves you. But the old children's hymn got it right. Jesus loves me, this I know. Why? For the Bible tells me so. That should be our answer. I've just sensed a growing feeling theology that's been creeping into the church. I feel that God would, and then I feel that this is right because. But we don't get our theology from feelings. We get it from the Scriptures. Are you tethered to the Scriptures for your doctrine? Are they the final authority for truth in your life? The Scriptures are our final, only, and ultimate source of truth for understanding God, man, the world, and how we should live. And why is this important? Because it's only in right understanding of God and ourselves that leads to right living in this world. So if we want right doctrine, it must come from the right source, which is the Scriptures themselves. So it's profitable for teaching. Secondly, it's profitable for reproof. This is rebuking sinners or pointing out wrongdoing or sin in another person's life. In Luke chapter 3, Luke tells us how John the Baptist had reproved Herod for taking Herodias, which was his sister's wife, as his own wife, and for his other evils, we're told. John reproved Herod. He said, "You can't do that. It's unlawful, it's ungodly, it's contrary to God's word, and Herod, you should be following God's word." So he reproved him. The Scriptures rebuke our sin. We're all prone to sin, and we need, as we come to the Word of God, to be reproved. And maybe that's in our personal Bible reading. The Lord reproves us. It's in the preaching of the Word. A faithful friend who reproves your behavior, your thinking, your understanding, lovingly confronts you. Lots of people don't like to be confronted. They don't like to be convicted. Well, I don't go to church because I just feel bad when I go there. But godly grief produces repentance that leads to salvation without regret, says 2 Corinthians 7:10. We should long to be reproved where we are off. It is good to be convicted. In fact, if you sit under the weekly minister of the Word and never feel convicted, we need a heart check. We need rebuke. We're all prone to wonder, and we need that reproof. And the Scriptures are the source of our reproving. If you are to reprove another brother or sister, you can only do it insofar as the Scriptures say to do that. Your actions are out of line because the Scriptures tell us to do this. So we need to reprove based upon the Scriptures. They're our source of reproof. Third, for correction. Reproof is the negative. Correction is the positive. So reproof tells us where we've gone wrong. Correction shows us where we can improve. You know, if you played a sport, coaches do this. They may rebuke you for certain behaviors at times, but then they're going to correct you. They're going to say, get your form right. You know, stand here, do this, whatever. Let's correct your behavior so that you can perform well. That we need corrected at times. We need supplemented. I thought of Aquila and Priscilla. They correct Apollos. Apollos wasn't necessarily off in his teaching, but he was only to John the Baptist. So they took him aside and they improved his doctrine. They corrected him and sent him on his way. So the Scriptures are our source of correction. They set us where we need to go. And fourth, for training in righteousness. The Scriptures are our source of discipline. If you watched Olympics or, you know, Olympic athletes, they have to submit to a very rigorous discipline training schedule in order to compete at that level. Diet, exercise, you know, years of this to be able to compete in the Olympics. And they have to submit themselves to this discipline. And in a similar way, we have to submit ourselves to the discipline, the training of the Scriptures in order to grow in godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 7 and 8 tells us, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So, you know, we discipline our bodies and exercise and eating, and that's of value. It helps us to live a healthier, better quality of life. But in the end, we die. Our physical bodies will eventually decay and wear out. Where if we discipline ourselves for godliness by the Scriptures, that will have eternal value and lasting impact. Do you want to be trained in righteousness? Give yourselves to the Scriptures. Give yourselves to the training and the discipline, the learning, the obeying, the hard work of training our lives by God's grace to conform to the Scriptures. Because many things in this world will train us for other things than godliness. So we have to ask ourselves, what we do with our time, with our energy, does this train me for righteousness? The kind of TV I watch, the relationships that I'm in, the kind of conversations I have, even the kind of mind-wandering that I let myself get into at times, the music I listen to, the friends I have, do they train me for righteousness? Do they feed your soul with a love for God and His Word? Do they help you despise sin and reject it? Or are these the means of your fall, your backsliding? You may say, I can't avoid it. I work with these people. These people are in my family. I have to be around such wicked actions and conversations all the time. How am I to be godly? Well, that's where we need to train ourselves, in the Scriptures. Are you using the Scriptures to combat the onslaught of training in ungodliness that you receive in your life? It takes diligent effort on our end. I've heard a pastor say this. Do you want to fail spiritually? You know what you have to do? Nothing. It's like if you have, you know, plants. If you want that plant to die, all you have to do is nothing and it will die. The same is true in our lives. We have to be proactively, diligently training ourselves in righteousness, submitting ourselves to the Scripture, meditating on it, growing in our understanding, putting into practice what we learn, or we will just spiritually atrophy. So we must give ourselves to the Scriptures. We must be tethered to them because they're useful for Christian living. Finally, be tethered to the Word of God because its purpose is for spiritual maturity. The Bible exists. It was made by God to be useful in the Christian life so that we can be mature Christians. That we could be fully equipped by God to serve Him in this world. God has given us everything we need in the Scriptures to live a faithful life. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. God's power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The Scriptures are enough. We don't need anything else to be spiritually mature than what God has given us in His Word. Some people say, well, you know, we really want to grow the church. So let's just imbibe some of the best tactics in the business world or attractive entertainment, and we'll just sort of, that will help us to grow God's church. Let us be more relevant. We don't need that. We don't need lots of flashy lights and high technology and a pastor who comes up out of the stage to grow God's church. People say, well, you know, I just, this whole Bible thing, I'm just trying, you know, it's just not helping me be happy in my life. It's just not helping my marriage. I just got to turn to, you know, some popular guru, or what is pop psychology tell us today that will help me? The Scriptures are just not sufficient. But the Word of God is sufficient for our Christian life, for our maturity. That's what the text says. All Scripture is breathed out by God, that the man of God may be complete on the Scriptures alone. Not the Scriptures in competition with something else. Able, you're complete. You're able to meet all the demands. You're fully equipped. You have all you need in the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, to live a mature Christian life. The Word of God is sufficient for our spiritual maturity. That means maybe for some of us, we have to untether ourselves from other allegiances. And first and foremost, be tethered to the Word of God. What is the most central thing for you that you look towards for your growth in Christian life? It cannot be some particular author, some particular pastor, some particular ministry or movement. It must be rooted in the Word of God. That is where we plant our flag. That is where we take our stand. And thinking about this, I couldn't help but think about Martin Luther. You know this story, I'm sure. He is studying as a professor. He's a monk. He's sort of perturbed by God's righteousness. He realizes, I can't attain the righteousness of God on my own. He discovers it's a righteousness that not he doesn't attain, but is given to him by faith. He begins to write on justification by faith, attacking the teaching of his day, and eventually he's brought before some great council. Both religious and political leaders of the day are standing before him with the authority to execute him. And Luther says, you know, they present his books. Are these your writings? Okay, recant these, or you're going to be punished. And his point was, unless I am proven from the scriptures and from plain reason, from simple thinking, from the scriptures, that what I've written here is contrary to them, I cannot and I will not recant. He took a stand on the Word of God. And that's where we need to be. We need to be rooted. We need to be tethered to the Word of God. Do you believe this? I'm sure most, if not all of you in this room, believe this, but we have to examine our lives. Do we live this? Do people look at you and say, that man or that woman is committed to the Scriptures? They give it time to study. They know its contents, and they actually practice what it says. Do you give yourself to reading the Bible? Do you give yourself to intentional obedience to the Bible? And maybe you're struggling now, and you think, well, not in this past season. I've been better at other times, but you know, it's busy right now. I don't have time to read my Bible. But God is merciful. You may say, I'm old. I have not given myself to the Bible as I should. Well, we can't make up for lost time, but you can start now. You're never too old and you're never too young to learn the Bible. We must examine ourselves and we must see if our lives are conformed to the Scriptures. We must see if we are tethered to the Word. And maybe you're here tonight and you're not a believer, or maybe you don't know if you're a believer. Maybe you regularly attend here or elsewhere and you're just not sure. And there's a warning for us who have the privilege of hearing the Word of God preached, of having access to the Scriptures. This comes to us from Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 25. It says, see that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. So if you're here hearing the Word of God, if you're here on a weekly basis, or you regularly interact with the Scriptures and you are rejecting its truth, the Scriptures are giving you a warning. Do not refuse him who is speaking to you. That God has spoken in a book, that he has told us of the way of salvation, that Jesus came to live for us and to die for our sins. That the only way that we can be right with God is if we repent of our sins and trust in Christ. And you've heard this message, and God is speaking this truth. Do not reject this. That to accept the Bible and its truth, or to reject the Bible and its truth, is a life or death decision. It has implications for eternity. So if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus, you've not submitted yourself to Him and to His Word, don't reject Him who is speaking. And for us who know Him, we're thankful for that. We're thankful that we have come to see the glory that is in the Scriptures. And we can all the more be stirred on to be tethered to the Word. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness and mercy to us. We thank You that You have loved us. We thank You that You have spoken to us in Your Word. We pray that You would speak to us now. We thank You for this truth. We ask that You would sink it deep in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.